Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't bring it up, but Woods and I were Zapruder filming.
Oh, we did.
David Peralta, fair, foul ball. The first one. The second one was definitely foul, I thought. The first baseline.
First baseline, I think, was foul.
That one was foul. It was the one down the third baseline that Manny was just hopping and going, fair, fair, and Schilt.
Schilt lost
his
mind.
Very
he
upset.
Went nuts. And I couldn't believe he didn't get run.
So, if you remember the play, obviously Manny's at third. Padres are having trouble scoring. They're fighting, battling tooth and nail to try to get a run in. And Peralta just swing, kind of late swing, down the line. Oh. And it goes right over the edge, looks like, of the third base bag. And the umpire, foul ball. Manny's hopping mad. So, they show the slow-mo replays on Padres.tv. And you see the shadow of the ball. It bounces like right on the edge of the chalk before the bag, but it's where it goes over the bag though.
Yeah.
And it bounces up and it kind of goes over very close to the bag and then stays in the air until, you know, a few feet after the bag when it bounces foul. But as the ball is going over, you see the shadow of the ball going over the edge of the bag and still over the line fair past third base. However, and I pointed this out to Woods, if you look at the shadows of the umpire and Manny, they are projecting straight onto the field because the sun is over the third base side of the stadium at Petco Park, which means the same is true with the baseball.
Correct.
That shadow is probably going to be maybe an inch or two.
Yeah, foul.
Toward the fair side. So if it's going over the line, there's a good chance that ball actually was maybe an inch foul.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
Either way, even if they could replay it, which that one is not reviewable, I don't think there would have been enough evidence, even on the shadow, to overturn it because of where the sun was positioned over the field at that moment. Because, see, the umpire shadow, if you're looking on our YouTube stream, the shadow goes almost straight to the left.
Back and to the left.
I don't know. We Zaprudered that one.
Ooh,
luckily,
right.
The Padres won.
Air, it looked like it got the corner.
Tough call.
Very tough call. But, hey, no big deal. Padres win that game. It's fine. Flush it.
Yes.
Move on. Do better, umpires. You won't, but I'll say it.
Try.
Anyway. Just try.
That one, if I'm the umpire, though, I mean,
I'm like, come
there's
on,
no
guys.
Right. There's no one
50-50,
way. The other team's livid if you call it fair. Padres are livid if you call it foul. There's no winning that one.
It was so close. I hate those calls. Got to be
close.
Impossible for the umpire to see in real time as well. Just totally, I am absolutely appreciative of how hard that is to call because it was really close.
Really close. All right, Paulie's got some headlines. It is time for the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Gentlemen, we will start off in Major League Baseball. Over the offseason, we talked a lot about Blake Snell. When's he going to sign? What's that contract going to look like? And he was, of course, a Scott Boras client. And Boras had like four big clients that all really took L's over the offseason where they signed eventually with their new teams. Jordan Montgomery was one of them.
Yes.
He ended up signing a one-year, $25 million deal with the Diamondbacks.
It's a good, I mean, that's a good chunk of change.
I mean, Blake Snell got, what, 30 a year?
Yeah,
like,
30
you know,
a year.
They got paid.
They got paid.
But it was not the longevity and the number that they thought, quite frankly, they all deserve.
Sure.
Who are they? Matt Chapman?
Chapman
Cody
was another
Bellinger?
One. Cody was another one. Yeah, man.
It was a rough offseason. It was like, it was almost, I'm not going to like defend Scott Boris, but if he were to think there might have been a little collusion with the owners,
yeah.
I would buy it.
Yeah, I would too.
I think of like Jerry Maguire, that line where he's like,
yeah.
You ran the tables on me for
you
years.
You stuck it to me for
now
years.
Now it's your turn,
yeah,
to, back
your turn to feel it.
It felt like all the owners were sticking it,
it
to,
really
to Scott Boris. So, one of the teams that Jordan Montgomery really thought he was going to be going to was the Boston Red Sox. He thought it was like a done deal. He had a quote as the Diamondbacks were in Boston this weekend, and he said, I had a Zoom call with the Red Sox. That's really all I know. It went good, Montgomery said. I don't know, obviously. Boris kind of butchered it, so I'm just trying to move on from the offseason and try to forget it. Pretty scathing words from a client to his current agent.
Is he still with him?
I believe he is.
Wow.
Who dumped Boris then?
Jerkson
dumped him.
I want to say Montgomery did too.
He might have.
I feel like he might have.
I think he might have.
Not seeing it here in that story. Anyways, Boris responded.
Ooh. Yeah, he fired Boris.
Yeah, he did.
He did fire. Okay.
Yep.
Scott Boris said, I saw what Jordan said. I know what it is to be frustrated with this game. As a former player, I feel for him, but I'm also a lawyer with obligations to my clients, including former ones, so I cannot discuss what happened or the decisions Jordan made unless he gives me permission. If he gives me the green light, I'll be happy to talk about
it.
I've been doing this for over 35 years. I relay all offers and relevant information to all of my clients and act at their direction. They make all decisions. We wish Jordan well.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you can see both sides of that. You can see, hey man, you had this on the table, you didn't think it was enough. You know, sometimes you just have to take, you know, take the best offer, and I think he did, but it was the missing of the spring training, and he's now been pushed to bullpen duty.
Montgomery was the last of those four clients for Boris to sign.
Yep.
1 year, $25 million with Arizona. He fired Boris shortly after that.
Yeah, contract negotiations are never ever
signed with his rival, the Bob Sugar of today's
city,
Wasserman, a rival agency.
Never fun.
Now, if the owners are happy about this, and I have no doubt that there's at least a few of them who are smiling somewhere about Scott Boris getting some criticism from his own clients, they can never say it.
Oh, yeah.
They have to just, like, silently just kind of go, But they can't say anything publicly because that would look really bad that an owner was cheering against a particular agent for whatever reason, even though they have their reasons to not be big fans of Scott Boris. They can't say anything.
100%.
They can't act like they've ever talked about him. There's nothing untoward going on in Major League Baseball about Scott Boris, but you know that there's a few of them who are going,
yes, I got you.
All right, we'll move on. Speaking of those Red Sox, they are going to be a part of baseball history later today.
I love this. This is great.
Yeah, so I guess what had happened was there was a trade that happened earlier in the season, and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, they played today. They're going to resume a game that happened in June 26th. That game was called early. They are resuming it today. Alex Cora made the announcement that Danny Jansen is going to substitute in for Reese McGuire at catcher today.
Reese McGuire is the one that got caught in the parking lot. Punching the clown.
Yes.
So it's just it's the second inning of this game.
Yeah.
Correct.
And Jansen started at catcher for the Blue Jays.
Correct.
He was then traded to the Red Sox.
Correct.
He will be catching for Reese McGuire. And that makes him the first player to play in both teams in the same game in Major League Baseball history. And he's going to catch the at-bat that he himself started.
Correct.
And must be pinch hit for.
Correct.
So he was
up
when the game was suspended. He was batting seventh for the Blue Jays. He is now batting ninth for the Red Sox. He will go in catching against whoever they put in as a pinch hitter for him for the Blue Jays. And then he will come up likely in the next inning to bat against the team for whom he started the game way back. When was the game started?
June 26th.
June 26th, so 2 months ago.
That's absolutely
That is crazy. And that's never... I mean, there's been a lot of suspended games and trades, but this has never happened in Major League Baseball before.
Yeah, no? One guy playing for the same, or playing for different teams that are playing each other in the same game. Yeah. It's insane.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened, you know, the deadline deals, you're playing the Rockies.
But you haven't started the game.
But it's before the game. Hey, just come on over to this locker room or whatever. Yeah. But same game.
I don't want Ricardo Rincon facing us tonight. Get him over here.
Send over Rincon. I don't want him going against us.
I got your money.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's happened in the minors a couple of times, but never before in the majors.
So cool.
Okay.
That's cool. And listen, you got to have a manager that's willing to play along.
Yes. Alex Cora said something along the lines of, hey, I'd heard about that. You know what?
Let's
make some history. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's have some fun.
Might have started you. Might have started the other guy, but why not? I mean, baseball's fun. This is pretty cool. That's a pretty cool moment.
I mean, it's a pretty important game for the Red Sox, who are, you know, hovering near the wild card.
But it's not like they're starting Devers back as a bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, the guy's a catcher.
Yeah.
So. All right, pretty great.
Earlier today, we started the 8 o'clock hour with Ben asking Woodsy about the Oasis reunion. It was kind of an interview. Ben was learning more about Oasis.
Yes. Yeah.
We all were. I've got another reunion happening here that all three of us, I think, are excited about. Ted Lasso Season 4 got the green light, reportedly, over the weekend.
We were just talking about
that. We were. And I honestly have trouble remembering how Season 3 ended.
They lost in the chance to win the championship, but lost.
Yeah.
And then Ted was going back to the United States to be with his family, right?
Kind of wrap it up in a way where if that was the end, it made sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, okay, I've did my England thing, but my kid's back, you know, tired of the Zoom calls with his kid and wanted to go back and be a dad again. So he was going back. So how are they going to get him back? What's going to be the plot twist that gets him back to AFC Richmond? I guess we'll have to find out. But they have, like, most of the cast coming back.
Yeah. Deadline had the exclusive story on it. And so, yeah, Apple TV's one of their most successful shows, Season 4, got the green light, and they had to get everybody on board.
Sure.
And it's been tough, you know, especially when you have a successful show like Ted Lasso. You do 2-3 seasons, you're going to start getting other gigs. And who was it that they had to get? They're still working on Jamie Tart.
Oh, you gotta have Jamie
They're
Tart.
They're not sure because he's got some conflicts with a couple of other programs.
Ben just spoiled Season 3 for literally.
It's not.
Everyone's
not
furious.
Some.
Everyone
it's
is
not
furious.
Some psychological drama whodunit sort of show.
Oh.
It's Ted Lasso.
Told everyone they lost.
It's very small potatoes when it comes to the big picture.
But obviously, Jason Sudeikis was on board. A lot of the cast was on board. They had to get Rebecca, the owner.
Yeah, Hannah Waddingham.
Roy Kent, Brett Goldstein, and then Jeremy Swift, who plays Leslie Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get all three of them
on
board.
Who did we have on?
We had
Rojas.
Danny Rojas.
Yeah, he dropped an
F-bomb or
something. Yeah. Did he drop an F-bomb?
We had Football is Life Danny Rojas on the show.
Yeah, he just comes out. He's like, hey, MF this and MF that. Whoa.
Apparently we didn't tell him it was radio. I don't know. Yeah, we did get him, though. That was
Bruce Willis was dead
all
along in The Sixth Sense, if you haven't seen it. Just so you know, when you watch it,
it's not. There's
he's dead.
It's really not a big deal. It's soccer. They win some, they lose some.
And they tie a lot.
They tie a lot, too.
Yeah. And people like
that. It's not what makes the show good.
They're very excited.
It's a very tiny, tiny part of the
show. Yes! 0-0. Yes. Great job.
It's about the relationships and what we learn along the way in Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Season 3 was okay. It was okay for me. I don't want to be that guy. Like, if everyone's ripping on Season 3 of the Bear. Season 3 is typically the season where everyone's like, terrible.
I don't know, man. The good shows, they keep getting better.
Keep getting better. And Ted Lasso left a little to be desired. Left a little on the table this year.
Season 1 was so great. It came out in the summer of 2020.
Oh, we needed it so
bad.
And
we just wanted some positivity.
A velour blanket on a rainy day.
What shows actually lasted a long time, but then just kept getting better and better?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is the only one that
Sopranos
I can...
Sopranos is way better.
Sopranos got better. I'll give you that one.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I mean,
most of the time, you stick around long enough, you're going to jump the shark.
Yeah, for sure. I think Ted did. So hopefully they bring it back and just...
Kind of get back to the. It just got so corny. There was a lot of corny stuff that happened.
And I agree with that.
Some weird, weird things.
But corniness was at the heart of the show.
No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. Like, Ted Lasso's already corny enough. Yes. You don't need 40 other corny people. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Danny Rojas. I like Danny Rojas, but we get it. You really like playing soccer. We get it. It's a one-note joke. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. So, that's my harsh criticism of Ted Lasso. I won't spoil any of the plot for you since Ben has already done
that. I don't even remember most of it.
I
but Paul asked what happened at the end of season three. I just answered the question.
That's true.
So be mad at Paul for asking the question.
Paul's fault,
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Paulie.
My fault for something you said. Okay.
Did you guys know football is life?
Football is life.
Football is life. Hey, really? You said that before.
I've heard that.
Are they getting Zava? We'll find out. All right.
They do get Zava.
Oh, see, nice. Spoiler more. So we heard some of the good of the baseball this weekend. We have not gotten to one of the bad notes from Major League Baseball this weekend. We'll have that coming up. And we're going to give away some tickets to Kansas. Carry On My Wayward Son. All coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we are remiss in not offering our congratulations for 3 hours and 22 minutes this morning to the history-making Chicago White Sox, who lost their 100th game yesterday.
That's unreal.
Oh, my God.
31-100, the second fastest team to 100 losses in the modern era of baseball, with a 9-4 loss to the Detroit Tigers, getting swept in the weekend series.
Judge is going to have twice as many home runs as they have wins.
Yeah, Judge hit another 2 yesterday.
51?
50 and 51.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, he has these concerning 24-hour home run droughts in between games that he's not doing anything other than during the games when he's hitting home runs. 18 first-inning home runs ties a Major League Baseball record. But, that's one end of the spectrum, Aaron Judge, and the other, the Chicago White Sox, 100 losses in just 131 games. They have 31 more games to play.
Good God.
I mean, if they're on their current pace, they're definitely going to get to 120.
I am not laughing at all at them. Not even a little bit. Because we still have to play them for 3. And I'm not saying a word. Nothing.
Padres have a few interleague series. It's amazing how many interleague games they have.
Yeah.
They've got the Tampa
Tigers.
Bay Rays on this trip. Tigers when they come back.
Tigers.
Astros, who have been one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Well, they had a rough weekend. They figured it out last night to beat the Orioles.
They did win yesterday on Sunday Night Baseball. I was watching some of that game.
Did you
and
see
then
the
White Sox.
Mauricio Dubon made? He ran.
Into the wall? Yeah.
He ran 131 feet at top speed. Caught the ball, smashed into the wall, and held on to the baseball.
That's pretty much like the combine, the 40-yard dash,
yes.
Except at the end.
You smash
into a wall now, at the end.
Now, we laugh at the combine every year. You do that at the combine at the 40, I'll watch.
Go as fast as you can, and then right at the finish line,
boom!
There's a wall.
There's a linebacker there to just drill you. I mean, and they said, yeah, that has padding on it. It's about an inch thick, and it's all concrete behind it. And I'm like, you can't get some better padding for these guys? Holy smokes, God. Man. He got wrong. They had to take him off the field. In regards to the White Sox, they keep doing this bit. I feel bad for him. Got traded over from the Dodgers, and that's Miguel Vargas. And, you know, he is up-and-coming player. He is playing for the meaningful at-bats and meaningful games for the Dodgers, and he gets shipped off to Chicago. And for some reason, the camera has started catching him every game, Benny. Have you seen the meme of the guy that plays Pablo Escobar just sitting in that?
He's sitting in that chair just waiting. This is Miguel Vargas. He's a big leaguer, and he's playing in Chicago, and they just catch him, and he just looks so forlorn, and he's just sitting there like, get me out of here ASAP. I mean, he looks like he's ready to hang them up and retire from the game of baseball. And I'm like, bro, you're still on a big league team. You're making big league money. You're getting a chance to play every day. But I get it, man. Going from the Dodgers, you know, you're going to go to the playoffs for sure, playing with all these big stars, and now you're
in. It does feel like every contender that loses any game to the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, you're just
sick. Like a tragedy.
It's a tragedy.
I mean, the Yankees lost one to the Rockies this weekend, so the Padres aren't the only one.
Yep.
But, you know,
got smoked.
You know, you look at the Padres against just the Rockies, the Mets, and the Angels. Outside of those three teams, Padres are 30 games above 500.
Crazy.
Take away those three teams, 30 games above 500 this season. And while they didn't get much help on the out-of-town scoreboard this weekend, the Nationals did beat the Braves at least yesterday 5-1. Atlanta fails to complete the sweep, so they're back to three games behind the Padres for the second wild card. They remain 2.5 games ahead of the New York Mets. Giants lost another one-run game, the Bob Melvin specialty, again falling to the Mariners 4-3. Seattle wins that series. The Giants are 5 games back in the wild card, 8 games behind the Padres, as are the Cardinals, who did sneak out a 3-2 victory in Minnesota on a Lars Nootbaar 2-run single in the 9th inning. They're tied with the Giants. Both teams are 500 in those wild card standings. So here's what to look for early this week. We've got the Orioles at the Dodgers starting tomorrow.
Good series.
3-game interleague series in L.A.
Go Baltimore.
Mets at the Diamondbacks. That also starts tomorrow. 3-game series.
I've always loved the Mets, man.
Yeah, fantastic.
Jesse Brian Winker Kenny on the show.
Yeah. Jesse Winker, hope you have a big series.
Go off, King.
Except we're not really cheering for the Mets either because
no,
we don't want them to get any life and like true. Make a charge.
I'd rather the Diamondbacks lose right now than the Mets lose.
Fair enough. The Braves go to Minnesota to take on the Twins for an interleague series. Giants are at the Brewers, and you kind of look at, well, the Giants are not that relevant at the moment at 500. The Brewers are battling for the number one seed right now. Yep. I think they're just behind the Dodgers, a game and a half behind the Dodgers for the number one seed. And then this is an interesting series. The Astros are at the Phillies for 3 interleague games. Phillies have gone from like cruising to the number one seed to now all of a sudden having to start to look in the rearview mirror. They've been caught by the Dodgers. I think the Brewers have caught or have almost caught them. And now they got to face the Astros for 3. And, you know, I don't know that the Braves can get there. But
Brewers are 1 game back of the Phillies.
1 game back of the Phillies. And they've got a tough series here against the Houston Astros at Citizens Bank Park for 3 games. So some interesting matchups early this week. And we mentioned earlier, at the end of the week, 4 games between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Wraparound series from Friday to Monday. Next week, ending on Labor Day.
Yeah, buddy. I'm ready. My body's ready.
I think for that 4-game series, I just want 4 long extra inning games split.
Yeah. Just beat the hell out of your bullpen. And a couple bean brawls would be great.
Yeah.
Great. Have fun, guys.
Suspensions would be
It would be fantastic.
You might remember. So Jesse Agler will join us tomorrow from St. Louis for the Song Lyric Incorporator. And you might remember how that started was with the minor league announcer who did a weird thing when he was calling a home run call.
Hit hard toward right field. This is getting toward the fence. This is going to be carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth when you were gone. Mike Hogwood used to say, kiss that baby goodbye. Kiss that baby goodbye there for the tourists. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth when you were gone. That one's gone. Oh, yeah.
Very, very weird.
Sort of Kansas lyrics.
I love
there.
The idea. The execution, though.
So in honor of that guy.
Why does he just read it?
All week long, we are going to be giving away Kansas tickets. When you hear that guy, like you just did.
I'm going to figure out the right sounder.
This is going to be carry on my truth and you were gone. Mike Hogwood used to say, kiss that baby goodbye.
You hear that, call in. So call in right now for your chance to win tickets to see Kansas at Humphreys by the Bay, 833-288-0973. Got a pair of tickets to Kansas at Humphreys on September 22nd. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or win them all week long here on Ben and Woods. Listen for that minor league dude incorporating Kansas lyrics into his.
This is going to be "Carry On My Wayward Son."
There it is. That's your sounder for the week to win Kansas tickets at Humphreys. Really, anyone at Humphreys is worth going to see.
Oh yeah, great.
It's been a while, but what a beautiful venue.
Great venue.
We have a number of really good venues.
We do.
Here in San Diego.
We do.
The Shell, Humphreys.
I haven't been to the Shell yet. I still need to go.
I was driving across the Coronado Bridge and could see the lights lit up on the Shell. Definitely some sort of concert happening there. And I go, all right, just anybody that I even remotely know, I'm in. I want to go see a show there. It looks incredible.
You've been
incredible.
To the Shell?
I have been to what was before the Shell, on the Embarcadero there. I have not been since they actually added the
Shell. Yeah, I've been to the Shell on the Embarcadero, but yeah, I haven't seen the Shell.
But since they've added the construction, I have not.
I got to get there. Got to get there. I was going to go see Counting Crows, but tickets were like $500.
Absurdly expensive.
I'll pass.
But Oasis, you're going to take out like a second mortgage to go see.
Yeah. Keep that on the down low, though. I don't want the missus to know.
Nobody's listening.
Getting a new credit card or something. Something. It's happening.
You have a three-nager to take care of. I love that term. Can you share when we come back? What your three-nager was doing this morning? That's coming up next, and we'll look ahead to the Cardinals-Padres series.
Yeah, we're in like crisis mode at my house. I'm texting my wife right now.
Next year on 97.3 The Fan. Gerardo in the chat wants to know if he missed us talking about you wearing our Bennett Woods shirt.
We haven't shut up about it, actually.
No, we would never bring it up.
Wait, what happened?
We are much too classy to mention that on the program.
It's no big deal. Act like you've been there before, guys.
Paul had shirts made of you wearing our shirt.
Correct.
In the dugout at Petco Park.
What a moment.
That was pretty cool. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Padres! St. Louis Cardinals getting ready for 4. No rest for the weary. Starting later today, we'll do a look ahead right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. The first question, though, is will you even get a chance? Will your 3-year-old and 6-year-old give you a chance to even watch this game?
What time does it start?
Tonight. 4:45 our time. Right around your dinner slash bedtime witching hour chaos at your house.
It's what we call, that's what I call in my house, crunch time. And Hannah hates when I call it that. But it's crunch time. It is, and anybody with kids knows that, man. It's that time of day. They get out of school, come home, they want to play, whatever. There will be no me retiring into the study to watch the Padres battle the Cardinals at 4:40. I will try my best to have it on, in my ears, whatever. I now will carry my phone around in my pocket with the game on the radio, where it's on every TV in the house, just trying to glean something from it. Because, dinner time's about 5, bath time's 5:30, try to put them down about 7.
So as you're going from like one day set to another in different rooms, just maybe the game will be on here and
Hannah's
there and
everywhere.
Hannah's
got it blaring on her phone because she refuses to use headphones. So she can't use headphones. So it's, you hear Don, his voice, I've got Jesse in my ear, or Don, and then it's on all the TVs, and it's just, it's chaos, man. It's chaos. And then you'll hear a delay on my Merrill Madness. You're like, what are you Madness? It's an S show. But what's killing us, and I can't be there because it's in the mornings, because I work mornings, as you guys know.
I do know.
My wife says, she tweeted in picture Taylor screaming. My 3-year-old, who I assure you doesn't even know what effing planet he's on, whined and cried all the way to preschool because I was, quote, going the wrong way. Happy Monday. They are so...
He consulted his Google Maps and feels like Hannah doesn't have the best sense of direction to preschool in the mornings.
They are kicking our ass right now. Both of them just destroying us. So we are...
Don't you go the same way to school every day? The same route.
Ben, he's insane. He's an insane
he's
person.
He's a crazy person.
He's absolutely nuts. I woke up last night. Well, I was in bed and I was like watching something on my phone. And I saw this little flashlight. And he had snuck out of his room. He likes to play Leprechaun, is what he calls it. And he runs down with his little flashlight, and then he runs back to his room and dives in bed like I didn't see him.
Like, bro, the flashlight's kind of giving it away.
Yeah, it's a tiny little one, like a keychain flashlight. 9:30 at night. And I'm like, bro, get in bed. It's 9:30. You got school tomorrow. And, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes,
only,
you do.
Only if mommy knows how to get there.
If mommy knows how to get there. But she's just having a real hard time in the morning. Bo gets a little upset and anxious about school. Why would Bo be anxious? I wonder why, with two of us as parents. But so, yeah, man, we're just going through it. It's hard. It ruins my mornings because I hate that she has to go through that by herself, you know, and I can't be there. But so I want to take this moment to officially retire from the radio. This is it for me. I'm going to go home and be a stay-at-home dad. They're going to be in school, but I'll be at home. What do you think?
Today
is going to be the day.
Considers himself.
Yeah, the luckiest man on the face of the planet. If we had money, she would force me to retire. Like, if we had enough money, enough.
You can't work anymore.
She'd be like, you're doing this in the mornings. I can't do it anymore. She's at her wit's end. So if anybody has any tips, please fire them our way. She legitimately this morning, I got an email that she had signed us up for a parenting seminar.
Seminar?
I said, what is this that you signed me up for? She goes, I signed up, but I'd like you to be on it. It's a parenting seminar.
Like a Zoom seminar.
Correct. And I go,
who's giving the seminar?
I don't know. Lord Parent. I have no idea. I go, okay.
I just can't imagine. Yeah.
Hear ye, hear ye.
I can't imagine anyone out there is so good at being a parent that they can give
right?
seminars on it.
Yeah, and by the way,
they're lying.
Yes.
If they're saying, you know, everything went perfectly with my kids all the time growing up, so I'm going to give you a seminar on how to do it. They're just lying to you. Everyone has struggles being a parent. Every single person struggles at times at being a parent.
Dominic says it's probably someone who doesn't have kids. You're probably right. I mean, you know, you can, and every kid is different. And every kid is different on Monday than they are on Tuesday, as they are on Wednesday, which makes it even doubly challenging.
I mean, if they're being honest, the only thing they can say is, it's really, really hard, and if you feel like it's going to kill you, it probably will.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're a parent.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And so he said, that's what beer is for. Yeah, for sure, but like, I can't suck down 12 beers every night. What kind of parent am I if I'm like, hey, you guys do what you want. Now, I know there's parents out there like that, but I can't be one of them. So, yeah, man, it's rough, dude.
Well, if you do get a chance to, you know, pop in and out of the different rooms and catch some of the game tonight, the first pitching matchup of the series will be Randy Vasquez making his return from AAA. I don't know if the Padres officially announced it or not. I know Jeff Sanders was reporting it early in the day yesterday that Vasquez was on his way. He's not listed, so I'm assuming it's official, even though the Padres probably haven't made the corresponding move. I think, unfortunately, Lake Bacher is probably headed back down after one day in exchange for Randy Vasquez, who will start against right-hander Kyle Gibson. Gibson, who pitched well, now it was way back on April 1st when he faced the Padres at Petco Park, but 7 innings, 2 runs,
oof,
pitching the Cardinals to a win that day. I don't know if that's relevant or not, but that's your matchup for the first game of the series.
Imagine we came in the next morning, here we go
again.
What
was it, April 1st, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should pull an April 2nd show. Well, here we go again. Oh, no.
Stand by.
We mentioned Randy Vasquez, this possibility last week when Matt Waldron was sent down, saying, you know, he's on schedule. His last start was 5 days prior, so it makes sense for Randy Vasquez to come up, but he's also put up like an 8+ ERA at AAA since he went down. Now, I'm sure he'll be glad to be out of the Pacific Coast League and the high altitudes and tough, you know, the hitters environment of that league. But I don't know where the confidence level or the stuff is at right now for Randy Vasquez.
Yeah, me neither. I mean,
and remember,
he got smoked in AAA, but a lot of guys get smoked in
remember,
AAA.
Mike Schilt was very aggressive with his bullpen yesterday. You know, you get 3 1/3 decent innings out of Randy Vasquez. Can you do that again, or do you have to go with your lower leverage guys today and get some more Yuki Matsui and other guys, you know, pitching Sean Reynolds, perhaps, in the game today? Maybe one of the tougher games of this road trip here, given the scenario and situation that the Padres are kind of facing going into the game tonight.
Well, you desperately needed that split yesterday. You really did. I mean, and so a Schilt masterclass yesterday, and the offense came through when we needed him most. You know, listen, getting to Kyle Gibson early solves a lot of problems. Oh, God, Paulie is laughing and smiling over there. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Did you already find it?
Why have we never done this bit before? Oh, no, 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 no. Why have we never done this? We should be doing this all the time. After a guy starts against us, as a good, we need to go back and listen to the next day's show.
Read the stat line one more time from April 1st.
All right, so April 1st,
what
was
is it, four games into the season?
Yeah. I think it was the first homestand. Let's see. He pitched 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 solo home runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts.
I hate this.
And he got the win against the Padres, 6-2.
We opened the show. The music stops playing and Woodsy, hey, get your heads right.
Right.
Over to my left, etc.
Happy Tuesday to you. Let's get our heads right. I know it's hard to get your heads right after a game like last night. I'll be honest, a little bit fussy about it, and we're only a week into the season, but that's just going to be the move this year. Excuse me.
Oh my God. That delivered way better than I thought.
So all the offense in that game, and remember the Cardinals took 2 out of 3. That was the first game of the series. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a solo home run.
Oh.
Okay. He won't be hitting one tonight. But you know who hit his first major league home run against Kyle Gibson in that game? Jackson Merrill. Went deep against Kyle Gibson for Major League.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Home run number one. We thought, we're not really expecting to see much in the way of power, but that was nice to see Jackson get a hold of one and get on the board here early in his career. No, 18 home runs later, with about 7 of them being absolutely critical for this team. Here we are with the rookie of the year. Not only favorite, but I saw this morning Kevin Acey from the UT. He said he wasn't writing a newsletter because he flew to St. Louis yesterday. He didn't go to the game, but he said, after that, I had to at least send something. He declared the rookie of the year race over. He said, it is over. Jackson Merrill has won it after yesterday's latest walk-off winner.
I love Paul Skeens.
nothing that your true love Paul Skeens can do at this point. I mean, if he goes on, I guess he throws like 2 straight no hitters. I mean, anything can change.
I love Paul Skeens.
Shut up!
I don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens.
I hate this day.
Not so fun.
Not so fun with a shoe on the other
foot.
Believe me,
I've been living it for 6 years.
Oh, how the
6 years.
Tables.
Ben, we have rarely do we take anything out of context for you.
All right, so after today, the rest of the series, it matches up pretty well for the Padres. Dylan Cease against Miles Michaelis, who fought 5-something ERA this year.
I loathe Miles Michaelis.
He's been mediocre this
year. He hates Manny.
Then Joe Musgrove against Andre Pallante, who's been pretty good, 6-6, like 3.75 ERA. Katie Wu was on with us earlier and said some nice things about Andre Pallante. And then Michael King against Sonny Gray.
It's good matchup.
Who has been good. Good matchup.
Yep.
Interesting matchup for the day game to close out the series on Thursday. 4-game series. And Paulie had the weather forecast. Brutal.
Hot rain.
Hot and wet.
I mean, 96 is like the low.
Save that.
Hot and wet. Yeah. That's the forecast. Now, I saw like cloudy, but not necessarily like rain, but that means the humidity is going to be jacked way up. And it's, I think the lows are like 75, but the highs are 97, 98, 100. I mean, you know, even in the evenings, this is going to be hot and unpleasant for both teams, but obviously the Cardinals are a little more used to it than the Padres will be.
I mean, look, we're talking to Jesse tomorrow, and he won't come right out and say
he'll say it.
Well, yeah, I think he might.
He'll say it.
He will.
This is his number one most loathed trip of the year. It's to St. Louis. Hey, and don't forget.
Especially this time of year.
This time of year. Yeah. August, late August. Don't forget, you're also playing in front of the self-proclaimed best fans in baseball. So, it's a huge series for both teams. They're scuffling to stay above 500. They got the tractor beam right now. Remember when we had the tractor beam just sucking us right back to 500? That's been them.
I mean, this is it in terms of weather, because after this, the road games are Tampa Bay indoors, at Seattle for 2 in September, at San Francisco for 3, and then the last week at L.A. and indoors at Arizona to wrap up the season. So in terms of nasty, humid, East Coast, Central, Midwest weather, this is it. Padres will be done before the last month of the season with any kind of difficult weather possibilities. But these next 4 will be sapping, draining, and unpleasant for your San Diego Padres.
Now, as we wrap up the show, Blue Meanie in our chat asks, did you guys talk about Merrill after the game.
I wanted to, but Ben hates cursing so much he wouldn't let us bring it.
Paulie will edit it for us.
He did not want us to bring it up.
I thought actually
I think it's a great idea to bring it up.
I think
you said you didn't want to sully his potential rookie of the year.
My honest opinion is that
I love Paul Skeens.
What Jackson did with Bob Scanlon in his post game interview, while it might ruffle some feathers of sensitive ears on a television broadcast, shows a great deal of awareness of the San Diego Padres fan base and what he needs to do to fire these people up.
Go San Diego!
Come on. Yeah,
that was both on television and in the ballpark to everybody still gathered.
Jackson, what do you have to say to these 42,000 fans here?
Go San Diego!
Yes, some underage ears might have heard it. I think they'll be okay, though, Woods. I think they will survive. And I think that was good. His teammates liked it. Fan base likes it.
That was 2022, right?
That was Jorge Alfaro.
That was Jorge Alfaro.
And then he kept doing it.
Well, Jackson's doing what,
San Diego.
He's doing what Jorge Alfaro did.
Yeah.
The walk-offs, huge home runs. I mean, it makes a little more sense, actually, from Jackson than
go San Diego!
Jorge Alfaro. Made no sense that he was doing it.
My kids were very upset by it.
Were they?
They were very upset. They'd never heard such strong language. Yeah, Patrick says, Ben seething internally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really not.
Did you think that, if he does this, this could hurt his chances?
No. Okay. No, I actually think that it was I actually thought it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing.
If we win the World Series, you're doing it. Downtown on a microphone.
Yeah. But they win the World Series.
100%.
You got it.
If you make the World Series, you have to do it.
During the World Series?
Yeah.
Like whatever broadcast
Correct.
We've got?
100%.
Fine.
On the air, too.
Okay.
You have to risk being fired.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, Paulie's got the dump button
Correct.
Ready.
Correct.
Can you bleep me like live? Like
no.
Time it perfectly? Let's practice. I won't say.
Oh, God.
No. That's a terrible idea.
I won't say the actual word. I'll pretend, and then you can just bleep me out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tomorrow. All right, that's it.
Try it.
Let's go San Diego.
That scared me to death, dude. Don't ever do that again.
You did pretty good there.
That was really
nice.
Good.
That was pretty good.
We're never doing that game again.
To do it in the last 15 seconds of the show.
You stupid mother.
For Paulie Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Annie and Elston coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.